The first reading is from Acts chapter 8. An angel of the Lord said to Philip, "Rise and go toward the south to the road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is a desert place." And he rose and went. And there was an Ethiopian, a eunuch, a court official of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who was in charge of all her treasure. He had come to Jerusalem to worship and was returning, seated in his chariot, and he was reading the prophet Isaiah. And the Spirit said to Philip, "Go over and join this chariot." So Philip ran to him and heard him reading Isaiah the prophet and asked, "Do you understand what you are reading?" And he said, "How can I unless someone guides me?" And he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. Now the passage of the scripture that he was reading was this: "Like a sheep he was led to the slaughter, and like a lamb before its shearer is silent, so he opens not his mouth. In his humiliation justice was denied him. Who can describe his generation? For his life is taken away from the earth." And the eunuch said to Philip, "About whom, I ask you, does the prophet say this? About himself or about someone else?" Then Philip opened his mouth, and beginning with this scripture, he told him the good news about Jesus. And they were going along the road. They came to some water, and the eunuch said, "See, here is water. What prevents me from being baptized?" And he commanded the chariot to stop, and they both went down into the water, Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord carried Philip away, and the eunuch saw him no more and went on his way rejoicing. But Philip found himself in Azotus, and as he passed through, he preached the gospel to all the towns until he came to Caesarea. This is the word of the Lord. The second reading is from 1 John chapter 4. "Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God. For many false prophets have gone out into the world. By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. And every spirit that does not confess Jesus is from God." "This is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard was coming and now is in the world already. Little children, you are from God and have overcome them, for he is in you is greater than he who is in the world. They are from the world, therefore they speak from the world, and the world listens to them. We are from God. Whoever knows God listens to us. Whoever is not from God does not listen to us. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God, and whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. In this, the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another." This is the word of the Lord.
Please rise for the reading of the gospel. Our reading is from John 15, verses 1 through 8. Jesus said, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch of mine that does not bear fruit, he takes away. Every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Already you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers, and the branches are collected and thrown into the fire and burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Today's message, "Be still and know that I am the Lord," is taken from the text of Mark chapter 16, verses 1 through 8. This is our text. In the name of our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, amen. When the Sabbath was passed, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James, and Salome bought spices so that they might go and anoint the body of Jesus. So the evangelist, St. Mark, begins his Easter gospel, and now let us hear the tale of the Spice Girls. By Sunday morning, we were really upset. We had seen the Lord Jesus die there on the cross outside of Jerusalem. On Friday, we hoped that perhaps he would somehow be saved before it came to that. All right, by Sunday morning, we were really upset. We had seen the Lord Jesus die there on the cross outside of Jerusalem. On Friday, we hoped that perhaps he would somehow be saved before it came to that. But no, we were there when he breathed his last and died. Two men, both Joseph and Nicodemus, who loved him and who were his disciples, but secretly, out of fear for the Jews, took his body down from the cross. His other disciples? Well, they had run away in hiding when this whole terrible thing began to unfold. Joseph, a rich man from Arimathea, had the lifeless body of Jesus placed in his own family tomb. That was very kind of him. Because the Sabbath of the Passover was almost at hand, they buried the Lord quickly, wrapping his bloodied, lifeless body in a fine linen cloth and laying him out on a stone shelf inside the sepulchre. There was no time to include the spices, frankincense, myrrh, and aloes, and other sweet-smelling ointments that we use to anoint the body at burial. And besides, well, you know, there are proper ways to anoint a dead body, and Joseph and Nicodemus were much out of their element. We observed the site where Jesus lay, and he went home to prepare those spices to do his burial properly. We hurried to Jerusalem Bazaar to buy what we needed for the local merchants before they closed up shop for the rest of the day. Our hearts were so heavy and sad, not restful at all, but filled with much grief and pain. On the third day, Sunday, we gathered the spices for embalming, starting very early in the morning, even before the sun rose. We wanted to make sure we had time to do things just right, our last act of love and devotion to our Lord. But as we walked along the way, the question arose among us as how we would even get into the tomb to do this. A huge stone door, after all, had been rolled against the entrance of the tomb and sealed it shut. At least two men were needed to roll that massive stone into the groove that was chiseled into the surrounding rock to close it tight. Would someone else be there so that we could have some help? Early on the first day, would anyone else be there to let us in? We hadn't thought of that. The stone was far too heavy for us to move. We were so sad. Embalming the body of the Lord, opening the door to his tomb, these sad duties had become a part of our lives because of sin. Death, after all, was in the world because of sin. Now we must face it again. We had hoped that the Lord Jesus would free us from all this, from sin's curse, from death, from the grave. Yet, here we are again. Easter morning, and we are going to the cemetery, preparing to give Jesus a proper burial. How sad is this? But boy, were we surprised, shocked. Really, we arrived at the tomb, that massive stone had been rolled back. The door was open. Why shouldn't we go in? We just walked right in. But where was the body of Jesus? It was gone. We were alarmed, confused, quite afraid, actually. Moreover, we were not alone. A young man in a white robe was sitting there in the tomb. He could tell that we were upset, so he said, "Do not be alarmed." His voice was different from any voice we had ever heard, like it came from out of this world, like the voice of an angel. "You seek Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified," he said. He is risen. He is not here. See the place where they lay him. Pointing to the empty burial bed, the white linen shroud all neatly folded up, we gazed around the tomb, all starstruck. Sure enough, the tomb was empty, except for the heavenly messenger. He then told us to leave the tomb and go and tell the news to his disciples that we would see the risen Lord again in Galilee. Let me assure you, the angel didn't have to tell us twice. We tore out of there like a flash. The shock of the empty tomb of Jesus was the last thing we thought we would see when we went out to anoint his body. We didn't say a word to each other or to anyone on the way back to Jerusalem. Nothing, for we were all filled with trembling and astonishment, both fear and amazement. Not until later, then, we began to think back on that morning. We remembered the words of Jesus. We believed what he said. As for the spices we bought, we didn't need them, for Jesus is alive. We saw him, we touched him, we walked with him. Because he lives, he promises that all who believe in him and are baptized into him will also rise from the grave to live again. Not just us who were there that first Easter, but everyone who is in Christ Jesus has new life from him. Jesus is alive. His resurrection proves that when he died on the cross, he took our sins away. In him, we are forgiven. Best of all, Easter is God's gift of life after life. We don't need to be afraid, even of dying, for Jesus has defeated the death and the grave. In him, we have eternal life in heaven. So ends the Easter morning tale of the Spice Girls. Now make no mistake, there is no mere idle tale told to us by these women, as even the disciples themselves first thought. No resurrection of Jesus is a fact, sure and certain. The living Jesus changes everything for us, how we live, and yes, how we die. So the writer of the Hebrews thus declares to us this Easter season, taking a cue as it was from those Spice Girls, let us be grateful, for we're receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken. And let us offer to God acceptable worship and reverence and awe. After all, Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. Amen.